Now notice something. Its origin of that voice. In the wilderness. Now we've been talking about the bride in the Song of Solomon and her love affair with her bridegroom and how she is so captivated by his beauty. We've been talking about how she went through that trial in Song of Solomon chapter 5 where she couldn't find the Lord. And throughout the night she began to look for him but couldn't find him. We found that when she went to the watchman on the wall, they abused her. When she went to the keepers of the wall, they exposed her. And we talked about how so many in this hour have gone to churches and where they thought they were going to get help, pastors, the keepers of the wall, abused them. And the watchmen, those that are leaders, expose them instead of cover them. You know, the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. And so we have a generation of people that have waded through all the religion, all the jargon of our day, and they're hungry for a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of the wilderness, she cries, "My beloved. My beloved," because even the church asked her, "O daughters of Jerusalem," is what they were referred to as, "who is your beloved that he is more than anybody else?" She said, "You don't know Jesus the way I know Jesus." She started talking about how powerful he was, that he was her personal Lord and Savior, and that he was brilliant and radiant even in the midst of darkness and trial and the midnight hour. It didn't matter, because as long as she had Jesus, it didn't matter what kind of trial she was going through. You see, this is the bride that's maturing on the earth today. It is the bride of Christ that no longer is squabbling over things that have no impact. This is the bride of Christ that is hungry for one thing, the presence of her bridegroom. And this voice of John crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." You see, I believe that from the place of testing is where, is this going to work? I'm hitting it and it's not working. We're having challenges technically. Okay, that's fine. But from the place of testing or trial, a new generation is rising up out of obscurity to proclaim the very same message. I think there it is now. Nope, I need to go back one. There it is. Okay, good. But we are being raised up because life has not been easy. And many of us today, as we sit in this room, are being challenged by various trials and difficulties that we're going through. Can I get a witness in here? Everybody in this room, if I could tell you my story, you'd feel like you had it real good if you could hear my story, right? We all have gone through difficult places. But that's the uniqueness about what's happening. Understand something. There are some who are surviving, and there are others who are thriving. Hallelujah. And I know you're a survivor, but you've got to go beyond that. You've got to get to a place where you're thriving in God. And in the middle of trial and wilderness and lack and pain and hurt and suffering and betrayal and all these things, what's happening? The bride of Christ is rising up. And she's declaring, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord." We're like the Shulamite woman of Song of Solomon. She endured and she found Jesus, her love, to be more than enough. This last generation, you may want to write this down because I believe this is a prophetic word. This last generation will witness the greatest demonstration of God's power in the history of mankind. Why? Because they've come out. They've come out. What do they come out of? Come out of the world? Come out of sin? Let's just say they've come out of themselves. They've come out. They've crossed the line. They're living a life now where they're no turning back anymore. They've made a decision to follow Jesus. Go back at Exodus chapter 8. In verse 25, I want to run through these real quickly. I want you to see this because this is a progression of where many of us have been and some of the things that we had to come out of. This is Israel wanting to leave to go sacrifice to the Lord. And the Pharaoh speaking to Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to the Lord your God in the land of Egypt. In other words, you can worship God right where you are. But that's not what God said. Hear me, church. You can't worship God right where you are. You've got to come out of yourself. You can't worship God with all of your philosophies and traditions and ideologies. You've got to come out of yourself. But the Pharaoh would want us to stay right where we are. There's preachers today will tell you, it's all right. You can stay drunk and come and worship Jesus. It's all right. You can stay right where you are in your bitterness and unforgiveness and be loved by God. You can stay right where you are. I want to be one preacher to tell you that it's not the time to stay where you've been. There is an unrest. There is an unsettlement that's happening in the kingdom. We're not content anymore to be where we've been. We want to go where we've never gone before. But it's the Pharaoh who wants to keep you where you've always been. Go to Exodus chapter 9. If it's not where we've always been, then he wants to keep us in verse 28. He says, only in the land of Goshen where the Israelites were. Well, let's see, I'm sorry. Exodus 9, verse 28. Did I write down the wrong scripture? He says, entreat the Lord, for there has been enough of these mighty thunderings in hell, these voices of the Lord, and I will let you go. You shall stay here no longer. There have been moments in our life where we've gone from where we've been, and we've made a decision that we're going to move on with God. But 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, we're right back to where we were before. Do you think Pharaoh was really telling the church the truth? Do you think he was really telling Israel, okay, just stop this hail and I'll let you go? He wasn't telling them the truth. And we've not been telling ourselves the truth. We've kind of make an appeasement of our own consciousness for just a season to say, okay, God, I'll never do that again, I promise. And then we go right back into the cycle of it again. But I've got good news for you. Listen, this gets a whole lot better. That we're not staying here. We're not staying in these cycles. There are people left and right every day breaking out of this stuff. It's an amazing, we are in a new season. We are in an absolute new season in the kingdom of God, and it's never been more exciting. Look at chapter 10 and verse 11. He said, not so, you that are men without your families, go and serve the Lord, for this is what you want. And Moses and Aaron were driven from the Pharaoh's presence. He said, okay, all right, fine. Here's what I'll let you do. I'll let you go serve the Lord, but you can't take your family with you. And we have thought that even today, we know what? We've been so indoctrinated by the philosophy of this world. We believe that religion is so personal that we ought to let our kids stay home in bed if they don't want to come on Sunday morning. Come on, somebody. We really feel like that's okay because they have their own choices. They don't have their own choices. If I go, you're going. I can't believe the amount of people that tell me when I ask about their son or daughter, well, he doesn't really want to come. I say, is he still living with you? Yeah. Do you still feed the boy? Yeah. Does he sleep in your bed? Yeah. Then why don't you go home and kick his out of the bed and bring him to church? What's happened that we are intimidated by our children? It is a spirit of the world that says you can serve God, but he has to make up his own choice. No, no, Joshua said, as for me and my house, y'all coming with me. But there's a group today. There is a growing group. They're coming in families, husbands and wives and children. Husbands aren't no longer staying home on Sunday morning. They're coming to the house of God. We're beginning to see as many men, if not more men than we do, women in the church. Hallelujah. And God is raising up a generation that's crying out in great inspiration to prepare the way of the Lord. And in Exodus chapter 11, in verse 24, and Pharaoh called to Moses and said, "Go serve the Lord. Let your little ones also go with you. It's only your flocks and your herds. They must not go." See, we've gone through that too. And we're still going through it to a degree in the church. We bring our children, we bring our families, but we don't bring our money. Because we somehow feel like money has become our God. And preachers are indicted for taking offerings for the church. We leave our flocks and we leave our herds, not coming to the place of sacrifice. But I sense in my heart, God is bringing people that are generous to the house of the Lord. You are a generous congregation. You are a generous people. Hallelujah. And we have more than enough to meet the needs of this ministry and Haiti and everything that God's called us to do. You see, in the last days generation, there is going to be a supernatural move of the Spirit that is going to be likened to two previous generations. And as I look through the Bible, I see there's only two generations that had the supernatural power of God come upon them and stay on them. Number one was Moses. Moses and his generation were a supernatural people. The other one, you might think, was David, but it's not. It was the apostles. David had the Spirit of God come on him, but it also left him. It was on and off, but on Moses, it stayed on him. And on the apostles, it stayed on him. Now, you know, the Bible talks about that in the last days, there will be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The latter and the former shall come together. I believe the latter is the supernatural signs of Moses, and the former will be the supernatural signs of the apostles that will come together on the last generation. Ooh, glory to God. I want you to know you are a sign and you are a wonder. And not only are you one, but you're going to be performing them. Because Moses had authority over the natural elements of this world. Pharaoh spoke the word of God and brought a nation crippled to its knees. I believe there's going to be some supernatural releases of God's power on the people crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." That in this last hour, I'm telling you, you won't even know yourself.
Hallelujah.
You'll have to get reintroduced to yourself.
Hallelujah.
The apostles had great miracle signs and wonders, healings and deliverance, raising people from the dead. And you put these two anointings together in the last generation. But it will not be like it's been. Hear me, church. There is a shift in the kingdom of God. If you're still running after personalities at crusade halls, you are in another generation. Because that is not what God's doing. I don't care if they can put 20,000 people in a crusade. That's not what God's doing. I'm going to tell you what God's doing. God's doing his thing through his people, not a person. It won't be through me. You don't need me to lay hands on you. You've got as much anointing, probably more than I do. It's not going to be, "Hey, you know, I went over to that church the other day and I got prayed for by so-and-so and he gave me his spirit." Those days are over. I make the announcement, those days are over. If you're going to services where people are hitting you on the top of the head to give you an anointing, you're in a previous move of God. That's over. Here's what God's doing. He is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. on a hungry, lovesick bride. So when the sign and the wonder begins to happen, nobody can come in there and say, who prayed for you? Was it Ron? Was it Bill? I want him to pray for me because I know they've got a lot of faith. They got the gift of healing. Who was it? Say, you know what? We don't know who it was. We just came in here and started loving on Jesus. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came in. And blind eyes were opened. Deaf ears began to be unstopped. People started rising up out of a wheelchair because His glory was in the house. And no man will get the credit. This whole man credit stuff has got to stop. There has been this sort of, how can I say it? We have tried to communicate to people the medieval mentality. The medieval mentality was clergy, laity. In other words, I have God, you don't. You need me in order to tell you what God's saying. That's why they called it the Dark Ages. Because people weren't hearing from God. But they were told by their leaders that they couldn't pray or couldn't hear from God because they weren't a priest. You hear what I'm saying? There are still some religions that propagate this. But there are a lot of charismatic Pentecostals that do the same thing. That I have an anointing that's greater than yours. You don't know what I paid for this. Well, let me tell you something. You didn't pay anything for it. 2,000 years ago, He paid it all. And He didn't say He would pour it out on this one or that one. He said on all flesh. Come on, shout all flesh. There is a lovesick bride that's had enough of this and are hungry to be used by God. See, some of you think that you'll never be used by God. See, some of you think that you're just ordinary. But the season we have entered may look ordinary, may look as business as usual, but your destiny can be changed within a moment of time. Case in point, Moses spent 40 years watching sheep that didn't belong to him. 40 years, folks. And the 39th year, 364 days later, a day that had been like every other day prior to that day, God changed his destiny. And some of you, I prophesy to you, every day of your life that has been like it's been the day before, and you almost expect tomorrow to be the same way, you better get ready. Because if your heart is filled with the love of Jesus, if you are a lovesick bride, you better get ready. Because your destiny is about to change. Peter, James, and John, what were they doing? They were out fishing. They had fished all their life. They grew up on their father's knee fishing, mending nets. Putting the boat in the water, taking the boat out of the water. Cleaning the fish, taking them to the market. Going back up early in the morning. Over and over and over and over and over and over. Get up, go to work, come back, come home, come back to work. It's Friday, great, come off, go to church, come back, go to work, come back, come home. Until one day, Jesus came and said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Till one day when Jesus came into their life and literally changed their futures. I'm here to commission you today. I'm here to tell you that you are great apostolic gifts, that you are great mosaic gifts. You are going to be used by God in this last hour. Do we really imagine just a Reinhard Bonnke or a Benny Hinn to try to save the world? Come on, folks. I mean, are we that gullible to think only one or two people have that kind of anointing? You know, there are more people living on this earth today than there are accumulative in the history of mankind. There are more people today on this earth that are born again than there are in heaven. You think for one minute, God is going to let this church go out of here in weakness and obscurity with only a few people walking in this great anointing and power? That season was for a time. The Dr. Summeralls and the Benny Hinns and all of the greats in the past were for a season, a sign to let you know what you can operate in, to introduce you to what you can flow in. And people are flowing in it all over the world. And in America, we haven't fallen quite in love with Jesus enough. But oh, we're getting there. People are tired of loving money and finding money not loving them. People are tired of loving things and things not loving them. They're finally working through it and saying, you know what? Just give me Jesus. I just want Jesus. I just want Jesus. Give me Him. I've got to have Him. Your life is about to change. Peter, James, and John could fish, but they didn't know how to raise a dead person, but they did it. They didn't know how to feed 5,000, but they did it. Peter even prayed for his mother-in-law. Think of that. And she got healed. All you've been through up to this point in your life was only to refine you. But your eyes have turned. You can't fake it. You can't fake it anymore. I know it. Your eyes have turned. Your affections have changed. I can see it. You're not satisfied with the way church has been. You're not satisfied anymore. You're hungry. Your affections have turned to heaven. Colossians tells us in chapter 3, 1 and 2, where Christ sitteth. Set your affections on things above, where Christ sitteth, where the anointing dwells. Turn your affections to the anointing. And your affections are changing. Things aren't as important to you as they used to be. You're finding your whole soulical realm turning and changing. And that's because God is setting up and God is revealing His bride on the earth today. The coming of the Lord is at hand, church. We are but moments away. I don't know how many moments there are, but we are moments away from the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He's coming to a bride who is looking for Him. Are you looking for Him? Are you watching for Him? Are you in love with Him this morning? Oh, give Him praise this morning because He's worthy of praise. Micah chapter 7 says this, "As in the days of your coming forth from the land of Egypt, I will show them marvelous things." Just like when Israel came out of Egypt. Let me say this. Just like when Israel came out of themselves. We have a lot of people in church today that don't drink, smoke, or kick the dog anymore, but they're still not saved. They might be in church, but there's no church in them. Come on. What is He saying? He's saying, "As in the days of your coming forth from the land of Egypt, I will show them marvelous things." When Israel came out of themselves, I showed them great things. The nations will see God's deliverance and be ashamed of all their might, which cannot be compared to His. They shall lay their hands upon their mouths in consternation, and their ears shall be deaf. I'm reading out of the Amplified. They shall lick the dust like a serpent, like crawling things of the earth. They shall come trembling out of their strongholds and close places. They shall turn and come with fear and dread to the Lord your God, and shall be afraid and stand in awe because of you. The nations are going to take notice of a lovesick bride that is moving in marvelous works for God. And it's going to cause the nations to tremble. It's going to cause the nations to have great reverence for God, church. It's going to cause a youth generation to come running to God in this last hour. I'm telling you, we won't have buildings big enough. We'll be having services every day, multiple times during the day, because the people of God will be so moved by your reverence, by your love for Him. Just as in the New Testament, whether the apostles, under the prophets, how the people held them in such reverence. Remember how they held them in such awe because the fear of the Lord was upon them. The nations will hold you as well in great reverence because of the great anointing, love anointing that is upon your life. 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Watch this. I love this part of the verse. All that God, you have it up there? Yeah. That have entered into the heart of man, the things which God, watch this, has prepared for those who what? Falling in love with Jesus, I'm falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus, I'm falling in love with Jesus. I don't care if you think I'm goofy or not, it doesn't matter to me, you see, because I'm in love. I don't care what I look like to anybody. You see what I'm talking about? Because eyes have not seen, ears have not heard all that God has prepared for those that love Him. I'm telling you, fall in love with Jesus today and God gonna show you something you haven't seen, tell you something you haven't heard. What a great hour. What a great day we live in. Church, this is a time of great rejoicing. Woo! What a great time to raise a family. You know, people say, oh boy, it's hard to raise a family. Not if you're in love with Jesus, it's not. Because they're going to be supernaturally anointed. Why? Because He said this in Acts chapter 2 and 17. In the last days I will pour out my spirit. And your sons and your daughters. Come on, say that with me. Your what? Sons. And your what? Daughters. Say it again. Your what? Sons and your daughters. What does it say? He said, I'm going to pour them out on all flesh. And they shall prophesy. Give me the next verse. They shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And old men shall dream dreams. God's going to restore to you what the locust has eaten, what the cankerworm has tried to steal from you. I don't care if you're in your upper senior years of life. You're going to dream again. Right. Young men, you're going to get visions from God. This is a great time to have a family. Have more children. This is a great moment to bring the righteous seed into the earth. Hallelujah. That's why the devil hates the family. That's why the devil's trying to destroy the family. That's why the devil's trying to take your kids out. But you've got to fight for your children. How do you fight for them? Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's how you fight for them. Love Jesus. Come on, praise Him in here. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1 and 17, it said that he was going to come, John was going to come with the spirit of Elijah on him. Malachi 4 and 5 said a spirit of Elijah will come upon them in that day. You're getting the spirit of Elijah on your life, on your children's lives. Playing with little cars and trains one day. Prophesying and seeing visions from heaven the next day. You mark down the words. On the 21st of October, you'll hear it from a woman's mouth whose son, 12 years old, nearly died in a car wreck. Spoke life over him. He went to heaven. He died, went to heaven. Jesus taught him the word, came back, began to write to his mother prophetic words. Called him to preach at age 16. Couldn't walk, couldn't speak, couldn't see. Doctor said he never will. He's walking now, he's speaking now, and he's got one eye with vision back. And God said when he's 16, he's going to preach around the world. And you're going to hear the story on the 21st of October. Why is God bringing a woman from South Africa to tell the story about her son? Because some of you have wondered about your son. Some of you have wondered about your daughter. I'm telling you, what God will do for one, he'll do for another. Your son and daughter is not going to perish, but they're going to live for God all the days of their life. Come on, somebody, praise him. The religious world wasn't ready for John, and they won't be ready for you. Religious people hate when they find somebody that loves Jesus more than them. They can't stand it. There's a relationship. The Bible calls Jesus a twig, and he calls him a branch. He was in a process of growth from insignificance to covering the earth with his glory. It talks about he's the branch and the fruit, which makes reference to us in John 15. I wish I had another hour. There's partnership with the Holy Ghost in here. He's the branch and we're the fruit, man. We are the expression of his very essence on this earth. I am proud to be a believer. I am proud to be a Christian. I am so thrilled to represent him as an ambassador from a kingdom that is not of this world. Let me tell you, God is about to shake this planet. Joel chapter 3, verses 14 to 16 tells us that he will shake this planet. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 to 29, the voice of the Lord will shake this planet. Don't worry about your shaking, oh little one. It's all right, it's just a job, it's just money. It's okay. God is able. He'll bring it to you. He'll meet your need. Don't fear, because the things that cannot be shaken will remain. And he says in Hebrews 12, the things that will remain are his kingdom. And after all, we've been praying it, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Then when the shaking comes and it removes stuff from us, we think, okay, back up on that prayer. I'm not sure I want the kingdom. I think we do want the kingdom. We just want the things as well. But there's a time and a calling to come out of the things. It's a radical message in this hour. It's a radical call to a people who are hungry for signs and wonders and supernatural events. I want to see it in this house. That in our worship, in our adoration to Jesus, in our prayer time, healings will take place. People will be set free. Salvations will take place. I love the whole thing about that tabernacle of David. I preached on this thing 20 years ago. Thought I had revelation of it. I really did. I thought the tabernacle of David, it's all the Davidic praise and worship. So we're bringing the praise and worship back into the church. So we brought the tambourines in, the drums and the dance. I remember the first time we danced in church, people thought, oh my God, what's going on? They said, restoring the tabernacle of David. Yeah. And that was for a time. The other day I was waiting in the presence of the Lord. I said, God, what is this tabernacle of David thing? And he said, just read the Psalms. Read what David had to say in Psalm, I think it's 27 and verse 4. I think that's the scripture. Yeah, put it up, would you please? One thing I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know what the tabernacle of David was unique about? It was a tent. And the only thing in the tent was the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you don't know anything about Moses' tabernacle, there were three sections. You had to go to the outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark of Covenant was, or God's presence. But David said, no, I'm going to pitch a tent for him. I'm going to put his ark or his presence in the tent, and everybody can come in the tent and behold the presence of the Lord. Now, what's interesting, that tabernacle existed on Mount Zion at the same time that Moses' tabernacle existed. I forget the mount, Mount Gibeah maybe. I can't remember what mount it was on. And people were still worshiping at the tabernacle of Moses. Watch this. But there was no presence. There was no ark. The ark was at the tabernacle of David. So what was David saying in that scripture? David was saying simply this. I just want to behold. There's one thing I want to do. I want to behold his beauty. A man that was so before his time. Keith Green. So before his time. His music was so prophetic. And he wrote, oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see. And when I look, when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. You know, David was not impressed that he was a king. Put that scripture back up, please, real quick. One thing. He didn't care about being a king. One thing. He didn't care about winning mighty battles and conquests and being the baddest and the best. One thing. He said, you could take my king. You could take my battle conquests. You could take my riches. You could take my silver. You could take my gold. Just give me one thing. The beauty of the Lord. Where is your heart this morning? Where are your eyes this morning? Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds in me. Would you lift your hands with me? Oh, why are we lifting our hands, preacher? One thing I desire to do, one thing, to behold his beauty. One thing, I want to behold your beauty. Do you want to behold his beauty? Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Come on, tell him, your face is all I see. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Can you do that one more time? Oh Lord, oh Lord, you're beautiful. Come on, just worship him. Your face is all I see. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds.
Let's lift our hands this morning. Sing that song.
This morning, church. Your grace.
I want everybody on our feet this morning. Everybody on our feet. There are every night before my little girl goes to bed, we'll kiss. You know, we have two phases of going to bed in my house. First is the initial kiss, goodnight. And then she says, "Daddy, won't you come in? Won't you come in the room and rock me?" So Daddy will be there in just a few minutes. And so before she goes to bed, I'll get there in her bed and she'll still be waiting for me. She waits. She'll wait. She'll wait. She'll wait. I'll be a half hour sometimes before I get there. But when I get there, she's got her finger in her mouth and she's playing with her hair. She says, "Daddy, you ready to rock me?" Baby, Daddy's ready. I pick her up. And I just begin to rock her. We dance around the room. It's a dance. Every night we do it. We dance. We turn on a loop and we just dance. Me and her. Little girl and her father. We just dance. We just dance. And maybe it's been a long time since you've danced with your daddy. Maybe this morning you say, "It's been a long time since me and daddy have just felt danced together." Church, this morning I want you to know the Spirit is calling you this morning. He's saying, "Come, come, come, let's dance, let's get married." He's saying, "No more dating. I don't want a halfway heart any longer." Your Father's calling you this morning, church. And as we conclude this service today, I want to open up the altars, and I just want you to hear that voice. You wait as we worship. You wait. You listen to the Spirit of a loving Father who's calling out to you, "Come. Come and let's worship. Come and let's dance together. Come and let's begin this journey of life together, and let's dance forevermore together, and let's never separate." So as we conclude and the worship team begins to sing again, I welcome you. Come. If you need prayer, our altar ministers are coming. But if you just want to dance, if you just want to come and bow down and worship, the altars are open for you. Live right. Love everybody and pray real hard. God bless you. We'll see you Thursday night.